I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I mentioned before, I was asked to give a sermon during the synod, and the Mass was a votive Mass for the priesthood. And the gospel lesson for that day is found in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. And I'd like to read just a few verses as we begin. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And a stranger will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this Gospel lesson, appointed for the votive Mass for the priesthood, were very profound words of love found in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Words from the very mouth of our blessed Lord, which bring comfort and reassurance to his church. Our Lord uses language immersed in heightened imagery to describe himself in relation to man, the image of him as a shepherd. Our Lord says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. His goodness being qualified by his willingness to sacrifice his own life for the sake of the sheep. Now the shepherd motif is used by Christ Jesus in this passage to show what great love a shepherd has for his own sheep. Sheep which are entirely dependent on him for their survival. In the field, customarily, after grazing throughout the day, the shepherd would build an enclosure around his sheep made of sticks and stones. And this is what we call a sheepfold. And the only way in and out of this little fold was through a tiny space that he'd leave open. And the shepherd himself would then lie across the opening, becoming the door in and out of the sheepfold. Nothing entered in without first encountering the shepherd. He would put his own life, his own safety on the line, in order to guarantee the well-being and safety of the sheep. The focus of the shepherd was on his flock, for provision when they needed nourishment, guidance when they wandered away, and protection when they were attacked by predators seeking to kill and destroy them. This language of shepherd sheep is important for us all to hear and reflect upon this day. It reminds us that we who like sheep often go hungry, need nourishment. We who like sheep often wander away, need guidance back into the fold. We who like sheep are often attacked by our vicious enemies seeking to devour and destroy us, need protection. And the Good Shepherd is right there as God and protector, ready to defend the sheep. And this he has done. At the cross in Calvary, our blessed Lord gave it all. He took upon him the burden of the world and was crucified as a propitiation for the sins of the world. By his death, he has now destroyed death. And by his rising to life again, has restored all things to everlasting life. This is the love of the Good Shepherd. And this very day, he continues to care for each and every one of us in a very personal way, by leading us into the safety of God by his grace given in the sacraments. Brethren, we get to experience the love and sacrifice of our blessed Lord, the Good Shepherd, in totality through the sacraments of the Church. The sacraments can only be conveyed, though, by those who have been purposefully called and set apart. Bishop Hansen once mentioned that seminary does not make a man a minister. Seminary does not call a man. The bishop doesn't call a man. Not even the priest calls himself. God's calling does. God himself places a call on a man in order to be the vessel through which the grace of the Good Shepherd is given to all the people through the sacraments. One commentator has written that sacraments can be duly celebrated only by those who have been authorized by Jesus Christ, unless the sacraments are ministered by persons duly qualified. There is no security that they can be convey grace. The means of conveying the grace of Christ Jesus, our Good Shepherd, is shouldered on the men whom he has called. Through his sacrifice and death, he establishes the standard to which now all those whom he has called must adhere to. He is the standard. He is the door. This means that all who are called have to become like him and stand in his place, in the place and person of Christ Jesus, what we call in persona Christi, to guide people as noble stewards would, back to him, back to the source of this sacramental grace, the source of salvation. The Good Shepherd purposefully calls men into vocation to continue his ministry of shepherd. And those whom he calls have to pass through the fire. They have to pass through the door to be molded and examined in order to assess whether they are truly ready. For the calling is a weighty one. It's a weighty vocation. And these men who are called and answer the call shall encounter trouble. The enemy turns all his minions loose to attack and bring the man down the moment he accedes to the call. I remember Archbishop Upham, God rest his soul, a former archbishop who passed away. I remember his warning to me right after my oral canonical examination. Man, I was happy and relieved more than anything else. I had studied hard. Nights I'd spent burning the candle, studying hard. And finally, I hear that I've passed my examination to be ordained. I was happy. And right there and then, he brought me down to the ground by saying, "Now you beware. The enemy has a target on your back." This is very true. The enemy detests the message of Christ Jesus preached to the world through God's ministers, and he walks about like a roaring lion seeking to devour the sacred ministers of Christ. That's why this day we come to the altar in earnest gratitude to our blessed Lord, who is the fountainhead of all Christian ministry and who has appointed the diverse orders in the church to mercifully behold his servants now called to the office of the priesthood, and to replenish them with the truth of his doctrine, and adorn them with innocency of life, that both by word and good example, I should faithfully serve him in this office. Again, the sacred calling isn't an easy one. I mean, we can look to the life of the apostles and saints, many of whom were massacred because of their commitment to the call. They were all killed, burned at the stake, some of them. And many people who have been in the ordained ministry for a lengthy period will tell you how many issues they've had, attacks of the enemy throughout their ministry. So the vocation isn't a walk in the park. It's not a, you know, working one day a week on Sunday. And that's why we must fervently pray for God to raise up men willing to make profound sacrifices, mirroring the Good Shepherd's selflessness in laying down his life for the sheep. By the grace of God, over the past couple of years, we have seen God call men, young and old, into the sacred ministry in our diocese. Praise God. We're blessed to have bishops who understand the vocation and are very supportive. This is such a blessing. As a testament to their great job, I was given the task of giving the sermon at this year's synod. In the presence of many bishops and many priests who are far more talented, far more knowledgeable than I am. And I don't think this is a common occurrence in many other places. And it does speak volumes to the kind of leaders that we have been blessed with. You know, leadership is essential to the propagation of the sacred ministry, to the expansion of the sacred ministry. For where there is no vision, the people perish, as the scriptures say. The liveliness of our jurisdiction is a continued sign that we have a vision, and our leaders are working tirelessly as good shepherds to ensure that it continues to be this way. Again, the bishops do not call the men, but they educate, they mentor, and support them, both young and old, in their pursuit of answering the call that God has placed on their life. So we thank God for them. Our diocese has hope. There is hope in our diocese, in our province. Not because we are competing with the church next door or the one across the highway, for that would be futile. Rather, we are doing this in our pursuit of being faithful to God, the Good Shepherd, who has sacrificed his life for his people. This day, may we pray fervently for the continued growth and propagation of the sacred ministry. For strength upon our bishops, strength upon our priests, strength upon our deacons, strength upon our postulants, and strength upon all those who are in the lay ministry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.